Sorry to interrupt performance today like this, but I've got a special guest in our Studio A. I'm Tim Burke. With me is Bob James. Welcome, Bob. Thank you so much for coming in.
Hi, Tim. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. And, of course, something big happening on the 27th of June, a live CD release slash interview. You'll be interviewed by Jeff Haas, who, of course, brings us the new Jazz Archive each week.
Yeah, Jeff is so great with supporting jazz and in the very celebratory way, and he's got such a history in radio going back from his dad and all of that. So it's going to be a pleasure being interviewed by him. It's very unusual. I played at the Millikan Auditorium many, many times in performance, but there was not much talking during those previous events.
And a quick reminder, lest I forget, that's on June 27th at 7:30 p.m. in Millikan Auditorium, and you can get tickets online at denosmuseum.org, or you can call the box office, and that number is 995-1553. And I should also mention that IPR is a co-sponsor to this event, so we're very proud to be part of this. And this is, I know you have a special affinity for Millikan Auditorium. Could you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, you could play anywhere you wanted.
Well, a bunch of reasons, and most of them center around Gene Gentleman, who's been a very, very loyal friend and supporter of my music for a long time and encouraged me to do different things. I was determined, since this was the place where I also live, that I didn't want to wear out my audience, and I knew that I was going to be seeing a lot of the same faces when I came back to perform, so I didn't want to come in and just play the same tunes every time or with the same band or the same concept. So it's been very eclectic over maybe 20 years, I guess, or maybe even more. And I brought in Chinese musicians from Shanghai, a project that I did that was turned out to be very meaningful for Gene Gentleman, because he started doing a lot more Asian trips and brought a lot more Asian culture into the museum there. And so we both influenced each other a lot as a result of that adventure that I was doing. And I've performed with my daughter there. I performed in a trio setting. I had a rhythm section come over from France one time that was really fun for me, because I had been listening to the NMC radio station that had a kind of progressive jazz show, and I heard this recording. Had no idea who it was, but I was really loving it. And I did one of the times I almost never do this. I actually called the station, you know, at 10:33 a.m., what was the song that was playing? And they told me that about this this jazz group, and that they were from, the rhythm section was from France. So one thing led to another, and I ended up contacting them and inviting them to play with me in Europe first, because I was playing in Milan, Italy. And then they actually were coming to do a tour of the U.S., so I ended up performing with them at Millikan, too. And we went down live to this same radio station where I had first heard their music. It was a fun experience.
Well, great to have you with us today. And I know that this is a CD release, among other things, and of course you will be playing. And there's a kind of an interesting story, I understand, about how this CD even came to be.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I was either going to make this into a CD or call my lawyer, you know, because Gene played a little trick on me, because there was no plan, at least that I was aware of, that this concert was going to be recorded. And it was one of those times, fortunately, where I got to the dressing room afterwards and we were kind of celebrating, and I was saying how fun it was and how great the audience was and how great I felt about the whole evening. And I think I was the first one to say, gee, I wish this had been recorded. To which Mr. Gentleman got a little bit sheepish look on his face, and he said, well, I don't know whether I should admit this or not, but it actually was recorded. And I was able to say, gee, I'm very happy about it. I want to listen to it, make sure. And not only was it recorded, but Jack Connors, the engineer who I had just met, actually, that performance, did a beautiful job. And it was recorded, first-class audio. And it then became very desirable for me to think about putting it out, and still in a kind of small way, so that they could sell it at the Millikan Museum there locally and kind of champion the project having originated from there.
Well, I think now would be a great time to give folks a little sample of what they're in store for at this particular little party that's going on the 27th.
Okay, I'll play my song, Restoration, and I'm trying to remember whether I played Restoration on the concert, on the CD. Now, that shows you how good my memory is. From I know I played a song called Downtown, which I'm not going to do for you this morning, but I...
Restoration
anyway,
is not on this, so we get a bonus.
Okay, so this is not on the CD, but seems like a good idea at the time to play it this morning.
Thank you.
pianist Bob James with Restoration is the name of that piece, correct?
Restoration.
And wow, it's always amazing to me to watch a piano player because I can't do that.
Well, it's a lifetime of making a lot of mistakes, and hopefully you try to make as few as you can.
I didn't hear any, trust me. You've got another big project in the works, I know, a concerto. And this must be, I guess, all-consuming at this point.
Very much so, Tim. I've undertaken something that maybe, if I realized how difficult it was going to turn out to be, I would have never done it because I would have probably been best off staying in my jazz comfort zone where I've spent my whole career. But going back to when I was in college, I studied at University of Michigan, majoring in composition, and I was unsure at that point how much of the classical world that I wanted to undertake or tackle or experiment with or whatever. And I was kind of going back and forth between enjoying playing jazz on the weekends and as a kind of extracurricular thing. But it took over my passion and my life, and I never really pursued the stuff that I was trained to do in the composition department at Michigan, one of which was always in the back of my mind to compose large-scale works. I guess that would be the only way I could think of describing it. I love working with the orchestra.
Now, I know that you also play trumpet and timpani. So does that give you kind of an edge, you think?
Well, I play very bad trumpet. I'm the first to admit it. I tooted a little bit when I was in high school, and I learned the fingering, and I learned some basic stuff. But I've never, other than trying to make sure that I communicated a lot with the great players on the individual instruments, and I've tried to learn how an orchestrator would take advantage of them. My basic only time that I've had the opportunity to work with an orchestra is during recording sessions on jazz projects where we occasionally use a larger orchestra. And I just am thrilled every time I'm in the room with these great musicians playing all these different colors and me having a little bit of control over that. So I've fantasized a lot about what it would be like to actually take on writing a ballet score or a symphony. I wasn't sure, but when it came down to a very big supporter over in Japan who was not willing to just let me leave it a fantasy, this lady who produces the Tokyo Jazz Festival, who I've become very good friends with, is a dreamer, and she's an action type of person. So she just kept bugging me, basically. When are you going to come up with a piece? I'll figure out a way to get it performed. So how could I say no to that? And to make a long story short, this coming September, if I get the piece done, it's still completely, the double bar at the end of the piece has not been put down yet, but it's going to be premiered by the Tokyo Philharmonic as a part of the Tokyo Jazz Festival in September. And I chose to do a piano concerto because from a practical standpoint, I can put some people in the seats just by virtue of playing the piano, and I have a little bit of a head start at getting a classical work performed by virtue of that. And I've talked to enough composers who often say that the hardest thing is to, if you're going to write a work for a 60 or 70 piece orchestra, it's difficult to get a performance, a commitment from an orchestra, because these orchestras book way in advance, and if you have no reputation as a composer of that kind of work, it's hard knocking on the door. And I felt like I had a little bit of a head start. And in this particular case, I had the woman that was saying, we will do it. All you got to do is write it. And so that's where I am right now.
Well, that sounds exciting. I understand that Kevin Rhodes, the conductor of the Traverse City Orchestra,
yeah, they started to open up the door to me, to asking me my ideas as to who I might want to have for conductor. And a little bit typical Japanese fashion, they really love bringing people in from the outside. They have their own Japanese conductors get plenty of exposure, but especially if it's a work by an American guy, they were interested in finding the conductor somewhere else. And I didn't really have any track record with conductors, so it just happened coincidentally that I went to hear one of the Traverse City Symphony concerts and saw Kevin Rhodes in action. Loved it. Loved the way he made the orchestra come to life. I loved his style of conducting. I loved his whole approach. So I started investigating whether that might be someone that I could recommend. And lo and behold, my Japanese producer really loved the idea too. They did their own research. The Tokyo Philharmonic Organization checked him out, his credentials, and it turned out that they were very pleased with what they found out. Kevin had done quite a bit of conducting in Europe, and he conducts in Boston and a lot of other places in addition to Traverse City. So we're off on this adventure now because Kevin accepted their invitation. So he's going to conduct my piece in Tokyo. And then next year, this coming June 2016, he will conduct it again. If we survive the first performance, we will be doing it in Traverse City with the Traverse City Symphony.
Wow, great. That's just wonderful.
Yeah, it's very, very, very exciting and very nervous-making because... I think I told you earlier before we were on the air that all of my family is very tired of me whining about this piece. But you're hearing my whining for the first time. And I'll tell you that I still haven't finished the darn thing, and I'm hoping to have a working version of the score that I'll send them by the end of June.
Excellent. Well, for the sake of folks just tuning in, the voice you just heard, that of Bob James, Grammy winner, among other things, and soon to be an accomplished concerto writer. he's crossing his fingers here.
I guess I can't really call it Opus 1 at my advanced age, but in the concerto world, it's definitely piano concerto number one for me.
Well, you can hear Bob James live, by the way. Make sure that we let folks know about this if they've just tuned in. The Denis Museum Center at Northwestern Michigan College and the New Jazz Archive are pleased to present Bob James at the Millikan Auditorium on Saturday, June 27th at 7:30 p.m. It'll be a mixture of an interview with Jeff Haas, who, of course, brings us the New Jazz Archive, and a mixture of that with some live music and a lot of surprises, I'm sure. Again, 7:30, June 27th at Millikan Auditorium. You can get tickets at denosmuseum.org or by calling 995-1553, and I should also mention that Interlochen Public Radio is very proud to be a co-sponsor of this event. So, Bob, could you just kind of take us out with a little bit of music?
Sure.